we found another earring over the from Sunday. It was a little dangly thing. Well, that wasn't yours, was it, Brent? No, you're gone. There was a little dangly earring, so you can call the office about that if you lost one. Anybody need a worksheet for this evening? We're in Matthew 28. Matthew 28. I don't know, because I figured I've proven that, but I think we might finish Matthew tonight. I know, don't laugh. I think we might. Matthew chapter 28. Anybody got that? More worksheets? All right. All right. Matthew chapter 28. Beginning verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And then he said, Go quickly. Look at it, find out the truth. Now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. So now he said, I'm telling you. You go to Galilee, you're going to see him. Apparently, it's kind of important. Verse 8. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, there shall they see me. Now, the way that phrase is written is kind of funny, but what it's saying is, go tell my brethren so that they will go. Basically, that's what it's saying. Go tell my brethren, what you've seen here, so that they will go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now, we've got this little parenthetical spot here that we really dealt with most last week. It says, Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Satan always likes to put doubt on the truth. I really think that's why God kind of slid that in there at that spot. We know he's saved. We know he died. We know he rose again. And we're supposed to go tell the world, which is the next section. But just so you know, God, old Satan tries for always to put a little doubt, put a little bit of discord in there, tries to always pull it apart. Look at verse 16 then. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. Why did they go to Galilee? Because the angel told them to go to Galilee, and Jesus told them to go to Galilee. So it said they went into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, look, now watch me, is what he's saying. You know, when I preach sometimes, I'll say, now watch me. That's really what it means when it says, and lo, now watch. Or it says, behold, now look. I want you to pay attention to this. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. My guess is when he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, well, most of those boys had probably never been out of the red general area there. He says, teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. My soul, how are we supposed to do that? Teach them to observe all things whatsoever ever I have commanded. Lord, we're just a bunch of fishermen. How were we supposed to do that? Look, lo, I am with you all the way, even to the end of the world. I'm not going to back out on you. I'm with you all the way to the end. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about some final instructions. Some final instructions. Father, again, we thank you for your word and for your truth. And Lord, I thank you for the study we've had through Matthew. I thank you for the wonderful truths we've seen and warnings, exhortations, some rebukes. And Lord, now we give us some final instructions. And Lord, as we know, it's not just for them because they're gone, but they're supposed to be going on from generation to generation. You prayed in John 17 for the generations that are to come. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll use us. And I pray this for our church, and we'll get a real passion to fulfill the final instructions. And Lord, I pray that you'll meet with us. We need your Holy Spirit. Little is much, but when you're in it, it's much. It may be little, but it's much with you. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we've come to the last chapter of Matthew. Jesus has proven his sovereignty over all that's natural and supernatural. He's come unto his own has received him not. His people have turned their back on him, but Jesus has not turned his back on them because he still died for their sins. I mentioned that last week, including all those that participated in the crucifixion. He's already paid for their sins. Now, in this final chapter, we finish Matthew with two very important doctrines. One is the resurrection of Christ, which we talked about last week. And secondly, the Great Commission. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, the resurrection is settled. You saw it was settled in prophecy. It was settled. It was foretold by the prophecy, foretold by Jesus. It was testified of the disciples. We found out the resurrection is essential. We found out it is to be proclaimed last week. It is to be proclaimed, because without the resurrection, there is no life. If he's dead, if he's still dead, we're still dead, dead in our sins and trespasses. If he's alive, then we have hope for a resurrection. And it was a bodily resurrection. We will be known as we are known. We will see him as he is, where we shall be like him. The resurrected body of Jesus, as he said, they thought he was a spirit. He said, listen, does the spirit have flesh and bone? This is a bodily resurrection, and this is who we are. Now, the fact is, you go back through Acts, and you'll find that over and over and over again, they preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is essential. Don't make light of the resurrection. Listen, it's funny how sometimes you go into a crowd, you talk about the resurrection, and some just said, okay, and some hoot and holler. If you really realize what the resurrection means, it's life. Without the resurrection, we do not have life. We're still dead in our sins. Now, if we have life, not only life, but life more abundantly, that ought to be something we ought to shout about. It ought to be something we want to tell somebody about. That is our hope. We have a blessed hope. It's not over. We're not just dead like a dog when it's all said and done. When they bury us, no, there's more from here. We have a hope. And so Jesus is saying, and I think he put it all in the same chapter here, because they want to know, we've got a hope because of the resurrection. Now go spread that hope. That's what he came for. He came to die for the sins of the whole world. You go back to Isaiah. He's a light unto the Gentiles. It's not just for the Jewish people. Go ye into all the world, and Mark says, preach the gospel to every creature. This is go in all the world and teach all nations. Teach them. We have a calling. Number one on your paper there, we have a final appointment. They had a final appointment. Apparently, Jesus had some final words to tell his disciples, and he wanted to make sure they didn't miss it. Now, I remember the day that my dad passed away, and I was standing in this pulpit on Sunday morning, and my phone buzzed. And my mom was leaving me a message to tell me, Dad's calling all the family around. Can you come down this afternoon? And late that afternoon, my dad passed away while the whole family was standing there. The fact is, there were some things he wanted to say. There were some things he wanted. He wanted one last chance with his family. And I'm not saying it was any great, noble thing that he said, although just to stand there and tell the family how proud he is and he loves them and this and that with a smile on his face, kind of waiting for the train to leave, not knowing when it was going to leave, but knowing it was probably any minute. There was the last words mean an awful lot. These were the last words of Christ before he was going to ascend into heaven. This is important words. And so he said, I've got an appointment, and I want you all to be there. Letter A, the angel reminds them of their appointment. The angel reminds, says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, look, now pay attention, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Now, listen. Look, behold, he's going before you. That's where you're going to see him. Now, I told you. Now, listen to me. I want you to know that. And it says, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. Now, again, we could spend a lot of time in these passages, but it's interesting. They left with fear, alarm, and cheerfulness. mixed emotions, I guess. Not sure what all they were getting there. But the fact is, I think the idea was, we've got something real important here. We're excited, but there's something very serious going on here. And you know what? The same thing, when we get excited about salvation, get excited about our own salvation, we ought to get excited. We ought to have cheer. It ought to be a cheerfulness. We're saved. It's done. It's all over. It cannot be taken away. Isn't it a wonderful thing? But I've got a job to do. It's a certain amount of alarm. Man, if this is true, everybody else needs to know this thing. Now they're saying, listen, this is wonderful. Jesus is alive. This is what they're saying. And they said, but you know, we got to go tell the disciples. This is important. They still think he's dead. In fact, when it says that when the ladies go back to tell him, the boys, they say, they were like idle words. All the girls are talking. I mean, I hate to say it, but that's what all the girls are talking. I don't know. This is important stuff. Do you realize that life in Christ is important stuff? Well, it's good. We're all everybody in here gets to go to heaven. What about everybody out there? What about everybody back home? What about the guy down the street? Letter B, Jesus reminds them of their appointment. Jesus reminds them. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. Basically, it means good health to you. Kind of, hey, y'all. And can you imagine running into Jesus? And, hey, how you guys doing? And he says, and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, now don't be afraid. Don't be amazed. Don't go crazy on me here. But he says, go tell my brethren so that they'll go in the Galilee. Go tell my brethren that they go in the Galilee. Just the way the grammar is there. Go tell my brethren so that they will go to Galilee. And says, and there shall they see me. He says, you got an appointment. Now I put those other passages there in small print. That's the part about the soldiers, but I'm not going to really deal with that. We dealt with that last week. Letter C. The appointment was for the final instructions. The final instructions. Now, we've all heard about the Great Commission, and you know, if you've been part of a independent Baptist church any length of time, we hear about the Great Commission. Blah, blah, blah. The fact is, it's possible to get nonchalant about the Great Commission. Lackadaisical. Do you realize that people can drop into hell just as quick now as they could when Jonathan Edwards preached the message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? They say when he preached that message, although they say back then you weren't supposed to use emotion, and they say he read his message. But the power of God came on him in such a way, and I'm sure there's some things leading up to it, that they said that people literally clung to the pew, the seats, hoping they don't slide into hell before the message was over. You know, we almost laugh at that as being superstitious. You know, hell is just as hot and just as real, just as horrible as it was when Jonathan Edwards preached that message. is just as hot and horrible as it was when D.L. Moody shook two nations to win them to Christ. And sometimes we're not careful, we get too busy building church than doing our job taking the gospel out. By the way, he said he'll build a church. Verse 16 says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain, under letter C there, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. He's assigned them. He is like it was a prearranged meeting. He says, this is important. I'm going out of town. In fact, it's interesting. When you go back and read a lot of the parables through the Gospels, how often did it said, and the master gave something over, and then he left to a faraway country, and then he came back. It's like he went to his stewards, he went to his servants, it's okay. Here's what I have. This is exactly what he's doing right here. He said, okay, I am commissioning you to take over the business because I'm going to be gone for a little while. Now, when I come back, you're going to have to give an account of what you've done with what I've given you to use, with what you're supposed to be investing. This is exact. He said, we got an appointment, boys. I'm heading out of town. I will be back, but I'm heading out of town. This same Jesus is going to return, but he's heading out of town, and he's giving them instructions. These are the last words of Jesus Christ on earth before leaving the ministry in the hands of men. Did I give you a letter D there? As amazing and obvious as this was, there were still some who doubted. Look at verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. That word worship means it's the phrase to lick the master's hand. You know, it's funny. Have you ever seen folks who say, well, you know, I can't trust my spouse, but I know my dog loves me. You know, I come home, my dog loves me. You know, my dog loves me. The fact is, you don't feed your dog 3 or 4 days. I'm not sure your dog is going to lick your hand when he comes back. But anyway, I know my dog loves me. Okay? But it means to think that he's our all in all. He's our sufficiency. That's what the dog knows you are. You're their sufficiency. You take care of them. That's the way we ought to feel about the Lord. We're the dog, by the way, not him. These are all sufficiency. And it says, but some doubted. That word doubted, interesting, means to duplicate, to waver, to think twice about what they've seen and heard. They're still not quite sure. They see the resurrected Christ, and they're still not quite sure. I heard someone say this one time, and I think it's very true. I heard a preacher say that, you know, most people don't win others to Christ because they're not really settled enough on their own salvation. They think it's okay for them, but they don't know enough. They're kind of afraid to tell somebody else and get them to lean on that. Can I be honest? There was a time in my life, now 30 years ago, more, where I was a little afraid to tell somebody about Christ. I knew I was saved, but yet it was just like, I don't know, I'm going to do something wrong. I'm not going to do this right. And I guess it's right. I hope it is. I don't want to give somebody else false assurance. And say, well, were you saved? I was saved. But faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. Sometimes we just don't spend enough time in the Word of God to keep settled. In fact, you go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, if we haven't added to our faith virtue and virtue knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity, he says, he that lacketh these things is blind, can't see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You got to stay in there. You got to keep the Word of God coming in. We're like a sieve. It's like that little play thing you have in the sandbox as a kid. The sand goes out the other side. If you keep filling up, it'll keep going. And that's what you got to do. Keep filling up because it keeps sneaking out. Some doubted. There will always be some doubters. What more do they want? I don't know what more they want. What more can God give them as proof? Resurrection Christ. there's going to be some doubters. We're blessed with those who believe who haven't seen. So, here we go. This is what he said. I said, we have an appointment. Number one, we have an appointment. The angel said, come. Jesus said, come. We got the appointment. He says, now listen to me. I'm going to give you some final instructions. Number two, here they are. The Great Commission. Letter A, I want you to see our authority. Our authority. We have a Great Commission. He says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That word power means authority, means jurisdiction. Jurisdiction, privilege. We have the privilege. He said, all power. He says he has the privilege. Now hang on with me. So he has the authority. He's about ready to give us the authority. He has the authority. He has all authority. All power in heaven and earth, which is what we learn all the way through Matthew. He's the sovereign of everything natural and supernatural. Number two, Jesus possesses all authority. Jesus possesses all authority. We could have gone back to a lot of different verses, even back to Revelation. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not a robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, and even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He possesses all the authority. By the way, if you got a bad translation, in verse 6 where it says, who being in the form of God thought it not a robbery to be equal with God, it'll say something like this, that godliness was something he didn't think he could cover, he could do, he could live up to. You go back and read it. It says just the opposite of what that verse says. If you get a bad, there's some bad NIV, some other translations will give you a bad translation on that verse there. It actually makes it say, well, he never thought he was God. So you've got to be careful. He is the authority. Number three, thus Jesus has the right to give authority to anyone he so desires. Isn't that right? If he has all authority in heaven and earth, then he has the right to give that authority to anybody he wants to give it to. Number four, Jesus distributes authority at his discretion. Jesus distributes authority at his discretion. In Mark 16:14, it says this. Mark 16:14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 that sat at the meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth that is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. What am I saying here? Listen, God can distribute authority. He gave them certain authority during that time to do signs and wonders to show that they were of Christ, that the power that they had were of God, was of God. I mean, when Peter and John went to the Temple Beautiful, and the guys was asking for alms. He said, well, we don't have any money, but what we do have, we'll give you. And a man stood up and walked, had been lame from a child. Now what, you know, now listen. God gives us the authority. He distributes. Now think that principle, because here in a second we're going to show this. Look at letter B. Our ambassadorship. Ambassadorship. We saw our authority. Our authority is Jesus Christ. And by the way, if he's the authority, don't try to do the work of Jesus Christ in your authority. Don't try to do it your way. You see, he's the authority. All power is given to him. Now, he tells us how to do it. So we're not, listen, if he's the authority, he's the boss, we shouldn't be trying to rethink how to do his job. There are a lot of people who's trying to circumvent certain things and think they're going to be able to do the job. Listen, starting next week, and I want you all to come. Don't anybody back out here. We're going to have several lessons on leading somebody to Christ. It's going to be very, very practical. We're going to go to school, so to speak, a little bit. Everybody, whether I know some people are more apt to this than others. I understand that. I mean, obviously, that's the case because he gave the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. So you got an evangelist who's going to do that more often. But the fact is, every single one of us need to be ready to give the reason for the hope that's within us. Every single one of us should be. Let me say this. Everybody should do yourself a favor and take advantage of the Lord and allow him to use you to have the pleasure, the joy to lead somebody to Christ. You really ought to. Well, I can't talk. Neither could I. I'll tell you later my story about the first time I went out after going to Soul Winners Club, trying to lead somebody. Yeah. There. You know, I mean, just listen, I know. Jesus possesses all the authority. He has the right to give it to whom he wants. He distributes to whom he wants. And he has given us, letter B, the ambassadorship. Look at verse 19. It says, go ye therefore. Well, what's therefore? You see a therefore? You always go back and see what it's there for. He says, I've got all the power. Well, okay, well, you got all the power. Just hang tight with me. Wait for the whole statement. I've got all the power, so therefore, I want you to go. Watch this. Go. You say, well, go. I don't. Traverse. Travel. Here's the phrase I want. To remove from where you are. Dr. Smith says it this way. He said, you want to lead somebody to the Lord, first thing you got to do is you have to push down the leg prop on your easy boy, your lazy boy. And then you got to stand up. And then you got to go outside the door. And you probably got to go someplace where somebody needs to know about Christ. The fact is, the Lord will bring folks to you. You get faithful enough, he starts to dump them in your lap. So help me. And listen, we're all the same. I shouldn't get into this. There's a guy that I knew. He went through the thing. He went 13 weeks through our course. He was halfway through the second time. He hadn't led anybody to the Lord. He had done everything he can. And he was kind of a quiet, kind of a backward kind of fella. He was a computer geek is really what he was. He was a very smart guy, computer geek, but not necessarily the best social people skills, you know. And he worked hard. And this is what I told him. And I said, in the meantime, the first night I went out, I led somebody to the Lord. You know. But I said, you watch it. When it's all said and done, he'll probably be the best soul winner in the bunch. About halfway through that second session, he won two people the Lord. One or two, I can't remember now. Next week, came back with three or four. He started walking folks down the aisle, Sunday after Sunday. He had a report. Weeks and months went by without him missing a week, without leading somebody to the Lord. He ended up being a missionary. I remember if he got done that second session, he came down and surrendered. He says, I always felt like that God should be, I had been called to be a missionary, but I figured, what goes a missionary who can't lead somebody to the Lord? But now I can. And he surrendered. Wife and teenage boys. Now, the fact is, we need to go. We need to do it. You say, well, that's not who I am. That's okay, because God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. Not many mighty. Listen, sometimes, in fact, some people I would probably scare off, where you might be able to talk to them because they see you as a real person. I'm not a real person, I'm a preacher, you know how it is. Ambassadorship. Go. John 20:21 says this. Did I give you that one? Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins they retain, they are retained. He says, listen, you can make the difference between heaven and hell. You go back to Revelation, it says, listen, those that are righteous shall be righteous still when you cross into eternity. Those who are filthy shall be filthy still when they cross into eternity. Listen, you get rid of the sins on this side of glory, it's done, it's all over. You realize when you lead somebody to Christ, you just changed their eternity. Do you believe it or do you have some doubt? It changes eternity. Well, it was too simple. Who said it had to be hard? He said, listen, all power is given unto me. Now, wait a minute. As the risen Christ, he came to them in the upper room and he breathed on them. He says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And then he says in the same breath, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. You got the Holy Ghost. Now, go use it. Go use him to win somebody to Christ. Number two, he says, go ye. That means all y'all. All y'all. Go ye. I'm not going to take the time right now. You go back and read those scripture, Isaiah, Ephesians, and John 17. In fact, John 17 is where he prays for those who are yet to come in. For the ones who's going to believe down the road sometime. All y'all. It's for all of us. Number three, therefore, it says, go ye therefore, because, the word you're looking for there, accordingly. Accordingly. Why? Because Jesus has the authority. He has, here we go, he can commission us, he can command us, and by the way, he will commune with us. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. Let her see. Won't you see our assignment? We have our authority. We have our ambassadorship. We'll show you our assignment. Now hang on. Number one here. Our assignment is not. These are things that we think we're supposed to do. Our assignment is not to build cathedrals. That's not our assignment. Build cathedrals or other buildings, though they're often needed to do the work of God. We're getting ready to build. We may need to build. That's not what we were called to do. We're called to win folks to Christ. Now, we may need buildings to do that. But having built a building is the beginning, not the end of the deal. The building's of no use. Let me show you number two. Feed the hungry. Now, we may feed the hungry. In fact, the deacons are ordained to help care for the needs of the orphans and the widows. That, you go back to Acts 6. That's part of what they're supposed to do. That's part of what, as Christians, we should do. They should see our love. If our enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him something to drink. If he needs food, if he needs clothes on his back, help him. That you may heap coals of fire upon his head. In other words, melt him down till he sees Christ. But that's not the main goal of the church. He did not say, go ye therefore and build cathedrals. He didn't say, go ye therefore and feed the poor. In fact, he said, the poor you're always going to have with you. Right now, you've got me. Now you say, well, that sounds awful selfish. We got to put in perspective. You know what the poor needs most? They need Jesus. Listen, you feed them for a day, and they just need another day, and they're going to feed them for another day. I'm not saying you don't help them, but the fact is, all we're doing is spending all our lives feeding the poor. We are missing the best for good. Now, you've got to keep them alive so you can get them saved, but sometimes all we do is just feed the poor, and then you say, well, we're letting them see Christ in us. Well, that's good, but you're going to tell them. He didn't say, go you know the world and let them see Christ in you. Now, I'm going to preach on Sunday morning. That's important. They need to see Christ. But the fact is, go you know the world and preach the gospel. They're not here to have faith in what we are. They're here to have faith in what he is. I know this sounds awful. I'm not being mean here, but I'm just telling you what the book says here. These are his last words. Look at number three. Our assignment is not to run sports programs, though fellowship with other believers is strongly encouraged. That's all fine and dandy. It's good to have time together. And it's good, it's good to have some, go out and play volleyball. And we were talking about building a gymnasium, putting sports fields out here in the back. And we have a golf league and all these kind of things. That's fine and dandy. It's good. But if that ever starts wagging the dog, we're in trouble. It's only of value as long as the focus is still on go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Our assignment is not the bills, not the fees, not the run. It's not to perform with large professional grade music departments. Though the Lord has put a new song in our heart, many shall see it and fear and trust the Lord. And though we are to teach and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, that's what the music's all about in the church. And though it ought to be as good as we can do it heartily as unto the Lord. You know, listen. You know, I have been a musician. I sang my first solo when I was 4 years old. I started going around to churches and singing other churches when I was 12 years old. I started directing a musical group when I was 16 years old. I started directing the church choir when I was 18 years old. I've been in music all my life. But you know, one of the things that makes my skin crawl is when someone says, I come to your church because I love your music. Now, I smile and say, thank you. I do, but we're not here for the music. Now, it's nice to have it, and listen, we can chase a lot of people away with bad music. You know, if somebody can sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. You know, I mean, I understand. You know, I want it good, but that's just an end. Just a means to an end. It's not the end in itself. We're the church with the big music department. Mm-mm. Now, we don't necessarily have the biggest music department down. I know that. But I don't want to be known as the one with the biggest music department. I want to be known where they say, you know, those folks over there believe. They really believe this stuff. They really believe this stuff. They may even laugh because we believe it, but they really believe that book. Good. Good. Our assignment is to, number two, teach all nations. Our assignment is to teach all nations. Teach means to make disciples. It means to instruct. Here's the word you're looking for. Explain. Teaching is about explaining, to transfer a concept, to transfer information, to take it from one person to the other person so the second person knows as well as the first person. It's to make it clear, to bring understanding. Listen, we're not out there to get another notch in our belt. We're there to teach all nations. There's a reason why he put it in here like this. It's not just to say, there it was, the pray, 1, 2, 3, pray after me. No, they need to know what they're talking about. They need to know. In fact, when I lead somebody to the Lord, when I get all done, I say, now I'm going to lead you through a prayer. And the prayer I give them is exactly what I just taught them. And I want them to hear them coming out of their own mouth. I want them to know what they're trusting. And I don't even say, listen, if we get in the middle of this thing and you don't understand what we're saying, please stop me. Well, they might get stuck and not go back. I don't want them to pray some funny little prayer and say they got saved because I don't know. And I've had people say, well, I pray. What did you pray? I don't know. Well, give me the gist of it. Well, I don't remember. It's been so long. I don't think that's salvation. Now, I've had some people say, well, I got saved at Vacation Bible School when I was 8 years old. And they'll say, tell me about it. And so help me. The eyes light up like an 8-year-old. And they said, well, I believe Jesus died and paid for all my sins. So you trusted him alone? Yeah. I said, what else? If you get out the door and ask him what I trust, he said, well, that's it. That's all I've got. I said, well, that's all you need. Listen, I love that. That's fine and dandy. but we're supposed to teach all nations. We are to go to all people groups, teach all nations, all people groups, and present the gospel and cause all nations to understand what Jesus had caused the people to understand while he was here. Teach them all things whatsoever have commanded you. We're supposed to teach all nations. Letter C, nations, all races, all tribes, peoples, customs. It says, get it out there. There's nobody exempt. If they're breathing, they're a prospect. Number two, we're supposed to teach all nations. Number two, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. To baptize to mean make whelmed, to overtaken by. It's an identification with. It's under the authority of the name of the Father, the Son, the Savior, and the Holy Ghost. What are you immersed with? What covers you? What is most important? It says, I want to be immersed in the idea of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm identified with Him. That's it. I'm not being identified with works. I'm not being identified with some kind of personality. I'm being baptized. I'm immersed. I'm telling you all that this is what it is. It's all Him. Overwhelmed. It is all Him. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number three, teaching them systematic instruction. Systematic instruction. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teach them to observe all things. That word observe means to keep an eye on it so you make sure you do it. Keep an eye on it so you make sure you do it. You say, well, I've already heard this part. You ever going to hear it again? Because you know what? I'll guarantee you some of it's gotten dropped. We dropped the ball someplace. We got to teach it to observe so that we do what... And that's what Joshua said. This book of the law shall not depart of the mouth, thou shalt meditate therein day and night, thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then thou shalt have good success. And then thou shalt prosper and have good, however it is, it's prospering good success. It's one there and the other. I got to sing my song to make it work. Anyway, I told you I always had trouble with that verse. But we got to, listen, he said we need a systematic instruction. Systematic instruction. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cutting craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Building each other up in the thing. We need to do this. That's what it's for. Baptize, teach them, know what they're trusting. Get them to take a stand for Christ, and then teach them all things. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. I can't tell you how many folks, well, we're having a hard time, we're having some issues, and so we're going to stay out of church until we get this fixed. Wrong! Wrong! The worse it gets, the more we need to be together. The more we need to hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if we're, and you say, well, I know that stuff, but we all need to hear it. So, well, yeah, but, you know, you're not going to preaching. I get preached at every time I preach. I do. I get preached at every time I preach. In fact, I probably get preached at more than you do. Because when it comes out of my mouth, I got to stand here and say, well, do you believe that thing or not? Don't you stand there and blow smoke. Don't you stand there and say something you don't believe. I got to get it settled before I ever stand inside this pulpit. If I hadn't settled it before, I got to settle it now. There's times I find things that I think, I didn't think about that, but that's true. I got to settle it. If I haven't already, I need to. Joshua 1:8, I quoted that a few minutes ago, sort of. Psalm 1, I've quoted that so many times. Meditate in His Word day and night, then thou shalt make the way. You know, and it should be like a tree planted by rivers of water, right? Then 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What are we saying? Systematic study. I'm not going to college. No, you're going to heaven. And you have an ambassadorship. And he's given you a job. And he says, what I want you to do is get some sense about you, learn the word of God, so you can be used. Otherwise, you're kind of just taking up space. Might as well go, if we're saved and we're not going to do anything, might as well just go home. God has given us the opportunity to lead somebody to Christ. So he says, go ye in all the world and preach and teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In letter D, I want you to see our... blessed assurance, our assurance. Number one, Jesus accompanies us. Jesus accompanies us. He says, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. He said, he breathed on him and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. I didn't talk about it in here, but Acts 1:8 says, tarry ye in Jerusalem, so you be endued with power, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the world. We do not do this alone. I believe that many Christians spend so much time going through the motions of a Christian, and they may be saved, but they don't know what it means when you sing and he walks with me and he talks with me. They're too busy listening to the radio or watching listening to their iPod or watching their computer or watching TV, and they never take some time. Just open the book and let him talk to them. I think most Christians are almost embarrassed to say, Lord, would you help me lead this person to Christ? Lord, will you fill me with your Holy Spirit? Would you use me? Jesus accompanies us. He says, look, I am with you always. That word always means every day, all the way. Every day, all the way. It says, even unto the end of the world. Amen. John 14:17 says, he's speaking, he says, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. And here it is, it says, and shall be in you. That's what happens in John 20. This is a week ahead. John 14, the night before he's going to be crucified. Just a few days. He says, he's going to be in you. He dwells with you right now, but he's going to be in you. Verse 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Paul says we have the mind of Christ. He's in us. The Spirit of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. John 14:25 says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. We are not alone in this. When he says, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel, well, I can't do that. You're right. You're absolutely right. But he can. And all power has been given unto him. So he says, because I have the power and you have me, go ye therefore and preach and teach all nations. Give them the gospel. Can you imagine? You can lead somebody to the Lord and see that life change. Letter E. Jesus authorizes us. Jesus, that's not quite the word I want, but it'll work. Jesus authorizes us. We do not have to go into the world all alone. If we are saved, we cannot go anywhere where Jesus is not with us. You realize that? That also means every place you go, you shouldn't go, he's there too. But listen, it is the Holy Spirit that brings conviction and regenerates the sinner. John 16, verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient that for you that I go away." This is the night before he's going to be crucified. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come." Well, who's the Comforter? The Holy Spirit. "The Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." That word reprove means he's going to convict by exposing to. The Holy Spirit is going to speak to the heart of that person. You know what sin is, and you know you got it. When you talk about what Christ did on the cross, the Holy Spirit's going to say, you know what righteousness is. It's Christ. And this is of judgment. And you know that it's appointed a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You break the law at one point, you've broken the whole law. But God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Holy Spirit is the one in there convicting, reproving, showing you these things. On the other hand, if we are telling Jesus to leave us alone, we're telling him to leave us alone in other areas of our lives as well. Don't expect to see God working much in the rest of our lives if we're telling him we're going to do our own little thing. You want to lead somebody to Christ? Be willing to let him lead you in life. Why can't I get advice? Is he leading you in life? When we surrender to him, that means now he has the authority. We don't have the authority. We're giving up our authority. But you see, when we give up our authority and give it to him, he gives us authority through the Holy Spirit to be able to lead somebody to Christ. I'm not talking about being perfect. None of us are perfect. But every time we mess up, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we confess it. When you get ready to go on visitation, do you ask, "Oh, Holy Spirit, is there something between us and you that's going to..." "Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Naught of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Nothing between..." Nothing than what it is. 304, that's where it is. It's 304. Let me see here. "So that his..." "Nothing between my soul and the Savior. So that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between." So he says, all right, you've seen the resurrection. Now go in all the world. Teach them what we've learned. Teach them the gospel. Bring them to the point they're willing to stand for Christ, be baptized. Then teach them to observe all things whatsoever have commanded you. And by the way, I'm with you all the way, even to the end of the world. You can do this. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, fishermen. Matthew, publican. A bunch of boys, and they're supposed to go tell the world. And they did. Because he's with them all the way. There's no difference between them and you. There's no difference. Let the Lord do something for you. Right. Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for the book of Matthew, and thank you for what it's taught us. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with us here tonight. Speak to us, we ask in Christ's name. Heads are bowed.